Unfiltered, the official Sunderland AFC podcast.
Hello and welcome to SAFC Unfiltered, the official podcast from Sunderland Football Club, with myself, Frankie Francis, and former player Danny Collins.
Hello, Frankie. How are we?
Very well. We are getting together and we're going to head down to the Academy of Light this afternoon to speak to one of Sunderland's longest-serving players, and that's Lyndon Gooch. We're going to be speaking to him very, very soon. But he's an important player for Sunderland, Lyndon Gooch. It's nice to get the opportunity to speak to him.
Yeah, he is. I think he's been doing well this season. You know, his stats speak for themselves in terms of assists, and he's got a couple of decent goals as well. And he's had certainly a tough time in terms of his career getting into the first team squad at Sunderland. You know, with a couple of back-to-back relegations. He's seen a lot of managers come and go, a lot of players. So it'll be interesting to catch up with him and see what his thoughts are.
Of course, you'll be putting in the regular quiz questions, I'd imagine. Now we're back in lockdown. As the quizzes, the numbers for your quiz on a lockdown Saturday, have they gone up again?
Yeah, the quizzes are back out, unfortunately. Well, yeah, so it's a bit of graft in the week for me sorting them out. But yeah, I think we'll have a look at Lyndon. I think Luke 09, we've seen him in the week and he did ask me if he's top of the leaderboard still. So he is at the minute on 3 out of 5. So we'll see what Lyndon can do.
Right then, let's head down to the Academy of Light and speak to Lyndon Gooch. Welcome to SAFC Unfiltered. Lyndon Gooch, how are you doing, Lyndon?
All good, yeah.
How's your general fitness and everything and training going well so far this season?
Yeah, everything's been good. It was strange having such a long period off, but we had a really good pre-season and all the lads look really fit.
What did you do yourself during that long period of time when we were locked down?
Well, we had a program off Nick Allenby, so done all that, obviously running and stuff and gym work at home. So just running a lot on roads, which takes its toll on the body a bit. But yeah,
How is Nick Allenby? Because a lot of players we've spoken to say that he's been key to the success with Phil Parkinson. Do you enjoy working with him?
Yeah, I do enjoy working with Nick. Obviously he's been doing this a long time. A few of the lads know him from being at Middlesbrough previously and stuff, so he's great. Obviously we look a really fit team, and that's down to him as well. Yeah.
Do you think that's going to stand us in good stead over the course of the season, being fit in comparison to other squads in the league?
Yeah, I think so. I think the teams who get promoted are normally the ones who cover the most ground and work the hardest, like you saw with Leeds last season, and obviously they've took that into the Premier League and started well as well, so you need to have that base.
Have you heard any rumours about those Leeds training sessions, the murder ball sessions where the
balls are little bits and bobs? You don't know whether they're true or not.
But do you think you would manage with them? Danny, you would struggle now, wouldn't you, with a murder ball session?
Yeah, just stand there dictating play. getting lads organised and that.
It's been a decent start for Sunderland, a good start, 10 games into the season so far, Lyndon. You found yourself all over the pitch though, haven't you, so far? You got 2 goals, a couple of good ones as well. Let's talk about your position, because you found yourself as a kind of bit of a utility player, if you like, someone who can slot in most anywhere on the pitch. That's a compliment, but at the same time, is it a bit of a head scratcher for yourself because you can't really settle anywhere?
Yeah, I think especially when I was younger as well, I think it was similar. Like when I came to the academy, I think once I nailed down position, I think then you saw my best football. But I've played everywhere, like you said, this season. Played obviously right wing back, left wing back, played in midfield, started up front with Charlie, which is where I would like to play. I think last season when I played closer to the striker, obviously I got into double figures, and that's somewhere where I think that's where I think I'm best off playing. But yeah, like you say, bit of a utility man this year, playing everywhere.
So do you have conversations with the manager then and say, because he would probably say to you, oh, can you fill in at left wing back today? But then does he know that you have aspirations to be up and around the top end of the pitch?
Yeah, I think the manager knows that. We spoke a few times. But with injuries and the way things happen sometimes, you have to change it up, and I'm really confident on both feet. I think that's why it helps the manager being able to kind of put me anywhere. Yeah.
So favourite position then, you say, up top, in it, obviously the gaffer likes the 3-5-2 this year, yeah. Isn't it, where he's played? And yeah. As you say, first game of the season, you were up there, I think, weren't you? You started up there, did you?
I started up there, against Peterborough.
Yeah.
But then after half an hour, Chrissy went off injured, so I slotted back in the midfield. But then obviously Rochdale, yeah. we changed the shape a bit back to what we were playing last year, yeah. with me and Chrissy under Chaz, and
yeah.
that's where I enjoy playing. Yeah.
So when you came on at Oxford, picked the ball up in your own half, didn't you? Turned and ran there. Yeah. Then last Saturday, picked the ball up in your own box and landed. So you don't score tap-ins, do you?
No, only a few. I haven't had many tap-ins. Like, yeah. They're normally either like that or from outside the box. But I think that was a big thing last year, was trying to get in the box more from crosses. And yeah. obviously that led to me getting into double figures. So hopefully I can do that, whether I'm playing in midfield. Obviously I'll have to make more runs in the box, so yeah.
Just touching on obviously last season you had injury, I think you came back, was it Doncaster away?
Yeah.
You came back and you scored in that game, didn't you, as well? But so you had a few injuries, the season got cut short, but you scored 10 goals, mm-hmm. just the one assist. Now looking at this season, do you set yourself one of those players who sets yourself a target, or not really, just see how the season goes really?
I think last season I wanted to get in double figures,
yeah.
that was my goal, and luckily I managed to get it before the lockdown, so that would have been disappointing if I didn't.
Yeah.
I want to get into double figures if I can again this year. Obviously I'm playing a little bit deeper,
yeah.
so that's them runs in the box, maybe try and get a few more goals, but obviously the way we're playing now, it's a bit different. I'm not going to be as advanced as yeah. maybe I would like to be if I'm playing in that position, but obviously I'm getting a lot more assists, setting goals up, which obviously I think that's big for Charlie. He needs balls in the box, yeah. get balls into him. That's
three assists for him at the minute. Now I've got you down here looking in on the stats online. It says you've had three assists, but I'm going to give you five in the league because
he's not in
I
the
agree.
You agree? He knows where I'm going with this. You put the cross in against Crewe.
Yeah.
And I thought Charlie tried to claim it, yeah. but obviously the centre half turned it into his own net, didn't he? And then I'm going to say Rochdale away, you've had a shot which deflected up for Bailey and he's glanced the header in, so you've got to claim
I would take
well.
Five, yeah.
There you go, so he's on. So yeah. you're flying already, aren't you?
Yeah.
So you're halfway for assists and getting to double yeah. figures and then a couple of goals as well, so you're bang on track really, aren't you? Good start.
Someone who's benefited from those crosses is Charlie Wyke. Just describe the season that Charlie's having at the moment. Do you think he's having his best spell at the club?
Yeah, I think that's quite obvious to see. I think, but it's not just his goals. I think people.
Yeah, tell us about this, because fans have previously got frustrated yeah. with Charlie Wyke playing, yeah. his style of play, perhaps the manner in which he holds the ball up, but obviously the team and everyone around the club sees what Charlie can offer. You obviously see that as a teammate.
Yeah, definitely. You know, going into the game, he's going to batter the other team's centre halves. You know he will. He's so strong, so big. But I think his work rate gets taken for granted. You know, as a big striker like that, mm-hmm. he's nearly running 11k. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
in games, and
for
it's a lot for a centre forward. And I think he's doing brilliant. You know, his hold up play has been really good. But I think just a player like him, he needs that service. You know, he'd done it at Bradford, scored over 20 goals there, and. When you get good balls in the box and good balls into him, he will score because he's done it.
So does that come from balls from the left and right, or come through the middle?
Anything really. I think obviously the other night, the one I put in wasn't particularly a cross. It was just like trying to thread it into his path, and he's so strong,
yeah,
holds off the defender, and he can finish. Which obviously he hasn't really scored many of them type of goals. I think most have obviously been from crosses in the box.
And you won at Rochdale, just a nice little chop, didn't
yeah.
you? Left foot, stood it up nice
yeah.
for a free header, 5 yards out.
We've got a good relationship off the pitch as well. We're good mates and that. And obviously, we talk to each other what he wants and stuff, what type of balls he wants in the box. And I think that's the main thing, just good quality in the box. If you know, if you're not getting good crosses in the box, it doesn't matter how many times you cross it, it's going to hit the front man, going to cut it out. I think you need good balls in to give them even half a chance.
And you mentioned the friendship off the pitch there as well. It also goes on the pitch. You've got, you know, we've seen good link-up play with Denver as well in recent games as well. Just what's the squad morale like at the moment?
Yeah, it's really good. I think obviously when you're winning games, that helps a lot. Obviously, I've seen a lot of dress rooms here where you're not winning games and you're down and out a lot. Yeah. You know, like, I think, what's it now? Over 8 years I've been a professional now here. And, it's a good group of lads, honest lads who obviously working hard for each other, and it's good. I mean,
well, let's touch upon that then. You know, you've been at the club many years now, as you've just said. When you made your debut in the league against Man City, could you ever imagine that Sunderland Football Club would be in the position it is right now?
Nope, not at all. No.
And how's that been from your point of view then?
It's been strange. Obviously, nothing changes here. It's still the same surroundings, the same unbelievable facilities. It's still, everything's Premier League. It's just
the amount of managers and the amount of players that have come and gone.
I was speaking to Danny Graham the other day. Obviously, I played with him in his first spell. I was just coming through then. I was still young, but I think there's something like nine or ten managers about now, or something like that.
But could you see, when you were experiencing those managers then, from your perspective, could you see where things were going wrong? Why you maybe we dropped down the league so dramatically? So Moyes was the one where we got relegated from the Premiership.
Yeah.
Could you see cracks?
Obviously we struggled for many years before that as well. And we just managed to get ourselves out of it. So I think a lot of people probably thought it was just a matter of time before our luck was going to run out, type of thing. But I don't think anyone could have imagined that we'd then go again, if you know what I mean. And obviously as a young player it's difficult, because I broke through in the Premier League. Obviously I've played at Manchester City, and I was like so happy, but we were still struggling, but I was still trying to learn myself, because I was only 20, I think.
Big step coming in, as you say, Man City. Squad, weren't they?
I think I started 7 games in a row, including the cup games, and it was just like all of a sudden I was just in. I was playing.
Who was manager then?
But that was Moyes.
Moyes.
And but obviously I was still learning. But it's difficult to learn when you're losing a lot. Yeah. You know what I mean? I think.
Yeah.
And then same again the next year. I thought, oh, I might play a bit more this year. I think I made 24 appearances or something in the Championship season. But I didn't play as much as I would have liked, and then you go down again, and then it's kind of like, well, left to me and George.
Yeah,
we're kind of like, we've been here the longest, we're still learning. Yeah. So it's difficult. I think people expected more from us, but because we're so young, we're still learning. You know, it's not as if we're in the prime of our career.
You're trying to learn your trade against the top players in the world, really. Yeah. As you say, you know. Yeah, baptism of fire, Man City.
Obviously, we had really good pros around us, like John O'Shea and Katz and stuff. But
it must have hurt though, as well, because the club obviously means so much to you. You've been here for so long, and you know, the likes of George as well.
Without a doubt, it was devastating. You know, we've came through the academy, we've broke through, and all of a sudden we're a part of the club's worst history. You know what I mean?
And you saw so many players come and go as well. And you know, in recent years, Sunderland has been, you know, in the headlines for the wrong reason, for having the wrong players, and you know, words like mercenaries gets used quite a lot. Could you see players over your time here who, you know, you were only in here for a couple of reasons, financial probably?
I think it's difficult. Obviously, a player, you're never going to turn down an unbelievable contract if someone comes in for you. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, you need to do what's best for yourself and your family, and you can't blame a player for someone giving them all that money.
Yeah, no, that's right.
You can't expect anything else. I think most fans, if someone offered them that kind of money, you'd snap their hand off.
Did you see any sort of clicks? I know, because I've been in changing rooms, as you say, when things are going well, as they are at the minute, everyone's happy and that, but when things are going bad, you're coming on a Monday morning, the place is quite dull, isn't it? The heads are down, and then you get these little clicks with players who are just staying in their groups, and they're, you know, saying, there's whispers around the changing room, isn't there?
I think there always is. I mean, since I've been here, it's always been like that.
Right.
Like, obviously, this is all I know. So,
yeah.
Some players might come in and think, well, what's going on here? Like, I've been in different dressing rooms where it's not like that. But I think it's different now in League One. Like, we've got a lot of British players, yeah. Irish, whatever, so it's a bit different, whereas higher up the leagues you get a lot of foreign players as well, yeah. and they kind of stick together, and
yeah.
so I think that's the difference.
Let's go back even further then. Born in Santa Cruz,
yeah.
How did you end up at Sunderland at such a young age as well?
Yeah, so there was a team from California, just like mixed kind of just random players that were coming over. It was like a centre of excellence, it was called, coming over just to train and play a few games in the Northeast. I think here, when trained at Darlington and stuff, back when they were, I think they were in League 2 then. And that was it, really. Came over, and I'd done really well, scored a hat-trick in the first game, and then that was it, really.
Played up front, yeah?
Yeah,
I was. So being so young, though, how did it work, you know, logistically then? Were you just left over here by yourself?
So my dad came with me, but my dad's from Colchester. Mm-hmm. So
is he a coach as well, is he? Is he still coaching?
He, not anymore, right. He stopped coaching now, but right. he was, yeah. yeah, he coached me and my brother and our teams growing up and right. stuff. So yeah, I've got citizenship and everything, so that wasn't a problem at all, because I think now with a lot of American players it's difficult to get mm-hmm. work permits and stuff unless you're playing for the national team, so mm-hmm. that was never a worry, so I was lucky there.
And then, you know, you've been here ever since, and you've yeah. enjoyed some big ups and big downs as well, I'd imagine. But yeah. looking at the highs, have you got any favourite memories of playing for Sunderland so far?
Obviously, goals? City away, like yeah. what you've previously said. That was my Premier League debut, so that will always stick with me.
First goal for Sunderland, remember it?
Yeah, Carlisle.
Carlisle, away. League Cup.
Yeah. yeah, yeah, I did. Left footer, scored a lot with me, left foot for Sunderland.
Yeah.
Probably, obviously, we lost, but playing at Wembley. Mm-hmm. That obviously meant a lot. So yeah, there's a lot of good memories. I think, yeah. obviously coming through the academy, mm-hmm. it's a big deal, and I've been here a long time. So this is my club. You know what I mean?
Yeah. International debut as well. Jürgen yeah, Klinsmann, definitely. The manager then, was
yeah.
he?
Jürgen Klinsmann. Yeah. yeah. That was in Washington DC. So yeah, that was a big moment as well.
Yeah, how was that then?
Yeah, it was good. I've actually got a mad story about that. The night before, all of a sudden I woke up in the middle of the night and it was as if I had food poisoning.
Did you?
Just vomiting, diarrhea, just horrendous. Like,
was this over in the States? Were you at home
States,
as well?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, in the States. So I think we play? We played on the Tuesday night, I think. And so this was like Monday night, Tuesday early morning, and I was just being sick constantly.
Wasn't nerves, no.
Couldn't get anything down. It's very rare I actually get nervous yeah. really anymore.
So what did you do? Pulled up.
Luckily my agent was over, like he was going to watch the game.
Yeah.
So he was just bringing me some smoothies to try and get something down. Yeah. And that was it. But like, I couldn't did believe you feel- it. I thought I can't believe this. You know, I'm going to make my debut for.
Did you start the game or did you come off the bench?
No, I came off
the
bench.
Came off the bench and that. So.
So yeah, like obviously I had to try and get some stuff off the dock to try yeah. and sort me out, and the manager was like, are you alright? I was like, yeah I'm fine. Well and truly knowing that I
lost
wasn't
the stone during the night, but no I'm
way,
fine.
There was no way I was going to pull out, no. you know what I mean?
Yeah, of course.
But I just couldn't believe, like I was thinking, of all days,
yeah,
it had to be today, you know what I mean?
What was Klinsmann like as a person?
Yeah, great. Actually, he rang me about 2 months ago just to check up on me and check in, which was nice. He was brilliant. He rang me straight away, like when I was starting to play a bit more, and he said, I'm watching, so just keep doing what you're doing, basically.
And obviously you've still got ambitions to play for the national side.
Yeah, I do. Obviously I know that it's difficult in League One.
Do you think that's unfair though? No. Because we've got quite a lot of international players still at this level, but you know, the kind of monopoly, I mean, you must have seen it. I mean,
yeah, it's
Premier
be
League and stuff like the top say. I mean, look at the most recent England squad players left out. You know, yeah. who are in on form.
Yeah, that's bigger.
Do you think that's a real thing? You know, the big club mentality.
Yeah, I think it's difficult for probably people over there to understand how big this club is. Maybe as well.
Yeah.
I think when you're playing, I mean, when fans are back in, yeah. like you're getting 30,000.
Yeah.
So I think in a way, it's going to hinder, isn't it? Because you're obviously playing in League One. The coverage won't be big in the States for League One now. Obviously, if you're in the Premier League, they're airing more games, even the Championship, I suppose. So if we can get back Championship and that, then...
Yeah, they've got Netflix, right? I've seen that.
But yeah, I think that's just been the stumbling block, you know? Like, if I was playing in the Championship, I think I'd get more of an opportunity. But it's just the way it is, you know? You could always go back to the MLS and maybe get back into the squad. And
what sort of standard would you class the MLS as, would you say? Is it Championship, sort of bottom Championship, top of League One, would you say, or where would you put the MLS?
Yeah, I'd say it's pretty similar, Championship, League One. Obviously, there's a lot of players in League One who can play in the Championship.
Right.
Especially towards the top end. And a lot of players have, you know, they've played in both leagues. And but I think it ranges. I think you can get some unbelievable players that play in the MLS who can play in the Premier League.
Yeah.
And then you've got some that might play in League One. It's a big difference.
I remember I'm not sure which World Cup it was, around 2010 it might have been, but I remember the US done well in one of the World Cups, and Yedlin, mm-hmm. right, and they just looked a fit team, the States, you know, proper athletes, I'm guessing they work on that side of the game as well, don't they?
Yeah, definitely. I think that's a big thing in America, fitness. I think, like you say, our teams are normally really fit. And to be fair, there's a lot of great young players who are playing Champions League football. Yeah. And I think there's about 10 players in Champions League squads this year.
Pulisic looks a player as well, doesn't he, Chelsea?
He's top draw. So, yeah, there's a lot of really, really good talent.
Yeah.
Just away from football, Lyndon, obviously on SAFC Unfiltered, we'd like to get you to know you a bit more. Mm-hmm. Away from the club. Do you partake in any other sports or anything like that?
No, I want to get into golf. A few of the lads play. I've never played.
Such a football cliche. I bet you play golf, don't you?
Yeah.
He lives on a golf course.
I know. So, yeah, that's something that eventually I think I'd like to. But now just chilling at home, chilling with my little boy, going out with him and the missus. So, just quite laid back. I think people think on the pitch I'm quite lively and...
Fiery character. I've seen you getting after the referee Saturday. Yeah. Was it Gillingham?
But off the pitch, I'm the complete opposite, which I don't think many people really know.
But box sets or gaming, any of that?
Lockdown, I've played a bit of Fortnite, never played before that. But that got me through a little bit, playing with Charlie and Max a little bit during the lockdown. But just like going home, chilling with my son. And
How old is he now?
He is 21 months now. Yeah, he'll be 2 in February, so it's flown by.
Yeah. What about music? Into music?
I like a bit of everything, really. Obviously, growing up in America, rap music quite big, especially in California.
West Coast, yeah.
Yeah, so...
Any particular rappers you're a big fan of? Dre, if it's West Coast, then.
Yeah, Dr. Dre. He was big, especially when I was a kid. Tupac and stuff, so...
Yeah. Can you play any instruments?
Definitely not.
No? Never thought about picking up the guitar or anything like that?
No, I can't.
Let's get back in this season then. You're 10 games in. Have you had a chance to kind of, you know, size up the opposition and the other promotion hopefuls? And how often do you look at the league? Is it at this point of the season you'd start to look at it now seriously and think, well, it's starting to settle out?
Yeah, I think... You can see kind of what it'll be, the top six, top eight. So, I think obviously we've played a lot of them teams as well.
Yeah, I was going to say.
We've done well, really unlucky against Charlton, should have won that game.
Yeah, I mean, they've won probably the most informed team in the league. We played really well against them.
Yeah, first half, we dominated by far, and we should have at least scored 2 goals in the first half. So that was obviously disappointing, but away at Charlton is also a good result. So yeah, we've done well. Obviously, Portsmouth was disappointing, but at the end of the day, it's one loss. And
you have them days, don't you?
You're gonna have them. You can't expect to go the full season without losing games. I think you just need to react right and get results off the back of it.
I think as well, you know, people have asked us, when do you start looking at the table? And I think as a player, you always like to have a look Monday morning, you always have a little look at the table, don't you? You know, 5 games in or whatever, but it is, as you say, starting to settle down, and the teams expected to be pushing for promotion are all up there, really. Perhaps Lincoln, a bit of a dark horse, really. And you look at the other end, Oxford, playoff final last year, and they're struggling at the minute, aren't they? So it's, you know, as you say, they're the teams expected to be there or thereabouts. So we've played three or four of them. Have you seen anything in them teams where you think, oof, apart, you know, you touched on the Portsmouth game. For me, obviously, we were at the game, and I thought it was just a case of you can usually have one or two players who aren't on top of their game. I just think on that day, we had several lads who were had an off day, and they caught us, really, and they didn't really work hard for the goals, did they? That was the disappointing thing.
I think the goals were obviously disappointing, and but it's always tough when you play Portsmouth. And I think
you've got this weird rivalry as well.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, obviously going back to the, I think when we played them the first time in the league.
Then the playoffs as well, weren't they?
Yeah, the playoffs and obviously the Checker Trade final. So yeah, there's a bit of a rivalry there, and I just think they set up well against us. Yeah. To be fair, I think sometimes you need to say, to be fair, their shape was good, and they stopped us from doing what we wanted to do. And so yeah, like I say, that it was disappointing to lose that game, but obviously we've reacted well since then.
I think on Tuesday I'd probably say we were doing the commentary, and what I noticed first off, I thought our pressing was good on Tuesday. Like a couple of other games, you can see where perhaps like Charlie might go and one of the others aren't too sure. Now if you're going in that pressing game, you've got to go as a team, and there's a trigger point, and I just thought on Tuesday Ipswich, you could see they wanted to play out. You can see their managers got them playing from the back, and the centre halves didn't look too keen on the ball, did they?
But that was strange because they had so much possession at the back in that first half.
Didn't do a lot
of
it.
I think second half our press was really good. We didn't even let them out the back. They were almost just giving us the ball.
Keeper kicked a few out of play, didn't he, on the far side?
I think that's the kind of change we made at half time. Was obviously I pushed up on the sitting midfielder to kind of stop him getting on the ball. Whereas first half we kind of let them have it a little bit out the back, but they never really threatened us. So that's what I think. That's why the goal was disappointing as well.
It was when it came from nothing, didn't it?
It came from nothing, and they weren't really threatening us. So, but obviously we ended up grinding out, and them tight games against clubs you're going to be in and around are big.
Yeah, what's the key to success this season then, in comparison to the last couple of seasons? What do you think, and do you think we've gone into top gear yet, or do you think we still have to find that?
I think maybe not so much finishing wise. Obviously I think we can score more goals, but the more we get dangerous balls in the box and press teams from the front, they will come, but you need to have that solid base. So at the back I think we're doing brilliant. Obviously it's disappointing pumping Rochdale them five goals, I think it was kind of like, what's going on? We've done well again. Obviously, like you said, Gillingham picked up a clean sheet, and
we've had to make changes at the back though as well, haven't we? Been forced into that through injury. How does that unsettle a squad? It obviously has.
I think it can do. I think when you've got a solid back line who've got a good understanding and are playing well together, you never want to change that. I think that's just an unwritten rule. You don't want to change the back line when you're playing well. So a few injuries and stuff like that, which obviously led to me having to play wing back right and left, and but I think you just need to slot back in and do your job basically. Sprinting back, stopping crosses, just the basic stuff.
Is anything different from the gaffer this season compared to last season? Is he trying anything new or
not really? Obviously we should tweak the shape a little bit,
just get another body up top really as well,
More two up top, and rather than me and Chrissy in behind, so we've obviously got more in midfield, and I think Grant's done brilliant since he's came back. Obviously he's had a tough spell with stuff off the pitch, and
just settles it down, Grant, doesn't he? You know, when it's a bit frantic in there, League One can be, and he's got that bit of experience and settles it down well, doesn't he?
Is he vocal on the pitch as well, Grant?
Yeah, without a doubt, yeah. It's a joy to play with him. I was a young lad when he was breaking through.
I've seen the picture he put up last week or something in the change room.
I was 10 there. I sent him that during lockdown because I found it on my computer. I said, get a look at this. He was like, oh my God. So he's kept that waiting for something, and then he put that on the bus, and he was just He was like peeking behind the seat, like waiting for me to notice that he put it on. And he was just burst out laughing like a little kid on the coach. So we had a good laugh about
that. It must be nice to have characters like that in the same side as you as well. Now there's quite a lot of experience in that side. We got Bailey at the back as well. What do they bring to the side mixed with the youth as well?
Yeah, we've got a lot of leaders. Obviously Bailey's been captain Preston, Bristol, Bristol City. Obviously Grant, we know his experience, his vast experience at getting promoted and stuff like that. So, and then obviously Max as well. We do have a lot of leaders. Yeah. Charlie, he leads by example at the top of the pitch. So, yeah, it's good. We've got a good dressing room, and I think when you've got leaders like that who are going to tell you when you're not doing your job or whatever, I think that's important. You need that.
Yeah. We're going to have some questions from Twitter. Now Danny's vetted them, so Danny, it's over to you. You've got
yeah, we've got a couple off some of the fans here for you, Lyndon. So we'll see. The first one's off SAFC Sharpie, and he's asked, "Who's the worst dressed in the changing rooms?" Now we've had this asked before, and we've had an answer, so you can confirm this for us here.
I bet there's characters who think they're the best dressed and
bad. I would say Luke or Griggy.
Yeah, we had the same.
Yeah, we've had Luke. Luke O'Neill's been thrown in before.
They just like
get out of bed and throw whatever's in the bottle drawer.
Not bothered, which you kind of got to admire sometimes as well. They're not bothered. But yeah, I think someone might have mentioned it, but when we had a team meal before, Luke showed up in flip-flops and a tiny pair of shorts in the middle of Newcastle, and everyone was like, come on.
That's not okay.
But yeah, I'd probably say them. Just because they're so not bothered about it and just turn up in anything. Yeah.
Is there a best dressed as well? Someone have a right bash every day or?
Oh, Grant has a bash every
Grant
day,
does,
like, but I don't know if he's best, like.
Right.
Yeah, it's a bit rascal. Yeah. But
I've got a good story on Grant as well. Yeah. When we were at Ipswich, like, Jimmy Bullard, were playing in.
He loves his game,
and Grant must have been injured, so we were out training. And then when we've come in, Jimmy must have come in a tracksuit, and then he's had a shower and he's gone to put his tracksuit on, and someone has filled his pockets on his tracksuit with protein powder. So nice. Jimmy's come in, and the lads, and he's throwing protein powder at the lads in the shower, so it's all sticking to the boys. He's going mad. And you know what Jimmy's like? He wouldn't let it lie. So he's going around trying to find out who's done this, who knew not training. Grant hadn't trained, but Grant's got a good straight face on him. But he found out it was Grant. So anyway, a couple of days later, we've come in from training, and Grant's got changed, gone to put his jumper, I think he had like a Ralph Lauren jumper on, and he'd gone to put it on, and Jimmy had cut the sleeves off his jumper, but taped them back on, so it was like they were back on with some tape on them, like, do you know what I mean? So, naughty banter, but Grant, as you say, so he likes a little go, does he?
I think he thinks he's the best dressed.
Does he?
But it's, we had a good laugh on the Christmas deal last year. Me and Grant were just battering each other all day about our gear. So, we've got a good relationship like that.
Good stuff. Right, the next one comes in from Sammy_K1599. And she asks, who inspired you to start football? And who has the best banter in the changing rooms?
Who inspired me to play football? My older brother and my dad. Growing up, my older
got
brother
got you into
football
early.
As well. He had trials at Everton, and but he didn't end up moving over. But basically my brother and my dad.
Right.
Yeah,
did your brother play pro in the States then, or
no?
He
played Division One University for San Diego State, and then when he graduated, he started working for the Earthquakes in the MLS, and he's just left there. But he was there for about 5 years, so. I'd say my brother and my dad.
And the best banter in the changing
rooms. Best banter, Charlie Wyke.
I see.
I'd say Chaz.
I think he's swerved this a few times though.
Has he? Well, we'll have to get him
on.
He's confident now as well. He's getting a few goals.
He's very confident.
I'd say Chaz, proper borough lad.
Right.
Messing about, loves a few pranks. And,
does he?
Okay. Yeah.
We'll get him on. At MacamNeil84 asks, Santa Cruz Boardwalk or Roca Promenade, and which one does the best fish lot?
Fish lot, I'd have to say here.
Over here,
yeah. But yeah, I love both.
Different. But
I think people are so surprised that I do love it here. But I've spent.
Yeah, you're used to it.
I mean, I've lived here full time for over 8 years, so I've spent a third of my life in Sunderland. So obviously, my missus from here, my son's a little Macum, so.
No escape now then.
No, definitely not. Obviously I love where I grew up as well.
How often if it wasn't for COVID, how often would you get a chance to go back to stay?
I'd normally go back in the summer for a few weeks and see my family. I've got three older brothers and my nieces and nephews are over there as well, my mum and dad and stuff. But we had my son just under 2 years ago, so I didn't go that summer because he was really little.
Yeah.
And then obviously COVID happened this year, so it'll be over 2 years by the time I get back.
Right.
Oh,
no. Terrible.
Good stuff. That's all the questions, Frank.
We should push ahead with your quiz then.
Yeah, I think we're going to have a look
at it. Let's just update the listeners though, because Jim Rodwell, last time out, 1 out of 5.
Yeah, he didn't produce.
He's actually previously been on a TV show called Britain's Brainiest Footballer.
Yeah, really? Years ago when he played himself, and he got to the final, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. But very bad on our general knowledge.
He struggled, So 5 questions, as we say. Okay.
General knowledge.
General knowledge, covering all sorts. There's an American one in there for you. And Luke 09 is still currently top of the leaderboard with 3 out of 5.
Yeah.
Let's see if you can knock him. He did actually ask me Tuesday night on the way, and that's the first thing he asked me. Am I still top of the leaderboard in the quiz?
So. I'm surprised he didn't ask you for a game of head tennis.
Yeah, oh, he still wants a head tennis game, doesn't he? Right then, here we go. Question number one. Which US state has 3 vowels at the end of its name?
At the end.
A lot of US states on the television in my house the last 3 or 4 days.
Yeah, it's a lot of states, you know.
There is a lot of states.
About 50, I don't
know. I would say Hawaii.
Hawaii, he gets is correct.
Great start. One out of one.
It's off to a good start.
Yeah, my best mates live there.
Hawaii, question number two. Who was the manager of Liverpool when they signed Jordan Henderson from Sunderland in 2011?
Kenny Dalglish.
Kenny Dalglish is correct.
This is really good going.
He's already there with most of the lads.
Yeah, I'm happy with that. I'll take that already.
Right. Question number 3. From which country does the mojito cocktail originate?
So you're going to have to think about the ingredients here. That's probably... Have you got a favourite cocktail, Lyndon?
I do like a mojito, to be fair.
Yeah. Good choice. I think it's probably one of my favourites.
He gets
favorites,
them from
actually.
Durham, though, not from this country.
I want to say Cuba.
Cuba's correct.
Yes.
This is extraordinary.
This is
unprecedented.
I thought Cuba straight away, but I had to give it a little.
Yeah, Cuba's correct, yeah. Question number 4. Released in 1980, what is the highest grossing arcade game of all time?
1980.
So which arcade game has made the most money, and it was released in 1980?
Pac-Man.
Pac-Man is correct.
Yes. So already, with 1 question remaining, he's top of the league.
He could nail this, couldn't he?
Wow. I'm happy I beat Luke. Happy days. Happy days. He'll be fuming.
He'll go and do an open university degree now.
And for a full house.
Oh, God.
Question number 5. A human's thumb is the same size as what other body part?
Steady.
Yes.
Yeah.
No dodgy answers. Now. I might have kids listening in. A human's thumb is the same size as what other body part?
Is it a scientific fact, Danny?
Is it, yeah?
That's what I found on my quiz sites, yeah.
Where from? The tip to the
joint?
I know,
where are we talking? Just that bit or the whole thing or...?
I don't know. I haven't looked that deep into it, but...
It has to be the whole thing. Like, from where it's, like, connected.
My guess would be nose.
He's only going to get 5 out of 5.
5 out of 5!
Nose get is in. The correct answer, yes.
I don't think that'll ever be beaten. 5 out of 5.
I can't believe that. I actually thought I was going to get one at best.
Well, you've nailed it.
I was a bit anxious there.
Yeah. That's good going. So Luke O'Neill's going to be devastated.
Devoured, yeah, buzzing.
Who else in the squad is going to push you on the leaderboard, do you think?
Do you think
you're going to stay the course of the season and take the title?
Well, now that I've beat Luke, I'm quite confident. I think
Everyone said Aidan McGeady, obviously, but we haven't got round to chatting to Aidan, but he's quite a clever lad, apparently.
Yeah, he's clever, I'd expect him to...
So you don't want us to collar Aidan for the quiz?
Five, maybe just
leave him.
And Dunk's ain't here, so I'm alright.
Dunk and Watmore's name came up.
Have been up there first.
So Luke's going to moan now and say your questions were easy, isn't he?
Yeah,
although we asked him an alcohol one, didn't we? The pina colada one.
Yeah, but that's where he's too good. He's too good of an athlete because he didn't drink.
He said, I don't drink. But he guessed it. Did he guess it? He guessed that, right? Didn't he?
If he has a few scoops, he might know.
Well done, mate. Good to catch up, and all the best for the rest of the season.
Cheers, guys.
Thanks.
So that was Lyndon Gooch, who we spoke to here on SAFC Unfiltered, sponsored, of course, by Alpha Security. Great guy, Lyndon. Very open about his time here at Sunderland. We're in a very noisy room up the academy with the air conditioning blasting. So, sorry, apologies for a slight problem with the sound there. But nice lad.
Yeah, he come across well, I thought, Lyndon. As you say, he got into some good detail in his stories from his time at the club so far. How his season's going and what he's seen for the future, really, and his aims. And no, as you say, it was a good catch-up with him.
Yes, indeed. And I guess one of the main takeaways from our chat with Lyndon is his desire to get into areas and assist with goals and score goals as well. He's found himself all over the pitch. But that just makes you more important to the side, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think it's good that you've obviously got more than one string to your bow in a way, but it's interesting that he did say his favourite position was up top, which I think he started the season, he got a game up there, didn't he? But since then, as you say, he's been shoved out on the left wing or left wing back. He's currently playing in that attacking midfield role, so he's had a few positions. But yeah, you can't knock his contribution so far this season. Sort of 4 or 5 assists already, a couple of goals, as we touched on, good goals as well. I think he's an important player moving forward for us.
And 5 out of 5 on the quiz, unprecedented.
Yeah, because when he walked in, he said he'd be happy to get 1 out of 5. So he done well. Obviously, I put an American one in there for him to ease him in. He ticked that one off, and he didn't look back from there. And one man who's going to be disappointed is Luke O'Neill, isn't he? To find himself off the top of the leaderboard, but no credit to him. Answered his questions well, and. It was a good interview, I thought.
Yes, very good interview. We'll find who we get next on SAFC Unfiltered. Don't forget to subscribe on all your platforms for your podcasts, and we'll be back real soon. Thanks for listening.
Goodbye for now.